Before we get to our last speaker on the panel, I want to just acknowledge Marcel Diallo and the Black Dot in the back who made this space available. We encourage everybody to buy something to keep the lights on. They didn't charge us to have this, or they never do. But we know that electricity costs money. PG&E ain't with us with this. So you know what I'm saying? Help us, help them, help us. You know, so make sure everybody buys some juice or some coffee or something. You know, buy a lot of stuff. So, you know, also I want to, Tricky from Sideshow Radio on KPFA, she's going to pass around a donation bucket so we can help also keep these kind of things going. And then we also will go with Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. And then we're going to have a Q&A for a few minutes. And then, you know, you could ask informally your questions after that. So we're not trying to keep y'all here all night. But Chairman Fred Hampton is the last speaker. Then we also got the father of Lorante Studisville, who his son was a victim of police terrorism, just to talk about other cases that are right here with police terrorism. Not necessarily an execution, but terrorism just the same. So, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. and the Prisoners of Conscience Committee.
Let me say revolutionary appreciations. Also, let me give a clenched fist our fellow panelists, the powerful presentations that they delivered. Also, again, I want to acknowledge the people in general, and I know I may be redundant in saying this, but I want to specifically acknowledge and commend the courageous community of Oakland for the response that they was given. Like I say, with Tupac said, holler if you hit me. We say, Oakland holler and the world heard it. There have been correspondences and communiques coming from all over the world about in response to this case for Oscar Grant. We don't take it lightly that some of the individuals that I misinformation pointed out were here today. Sister Chinasa, who many of y'all probably know, Hutton, is the niece of Lavonnie Hutton, who was assassinated April 6, 1968. I think it's important to make these connections, because a lot of times I've been accused, as well as some of my comrades have been accused. People say, well, man, Chairman, you got this, you stuck in the past, you're on this nostalgia type trip, you know what I'm saying? Talking about what's going on back in the 60s. You know, the police assassinated your father. And I tell people, think I'm on this personal thing, and I tell them, I make it very clear that we don't romanticize this struggle that we engaged in. And we got no, we're not masochists, you know, like when I was growing up, I didn't look forward to going to the penitentiary. I didn't look forward to assassination attempts made on my life. And this ain't, you know, a lot of times people see the photographs, hear about the events, and it may seem romantic, but it's a serious struggle out here. And the reality is that cases like Oscar Grant, the state, they remind us on a day-to-day basis that we got to continue to struggle, you know what I'm saying? So this ain't no 60s thing, or no nostalgic thing, or no thing that's happened in Chicago, or just Oakland. And what's so, and I'm honored to be here, my comrade pointed out, I'm based in Chicago, and with an international organization. In this case with Oscar Grant, we say when opportunity knocks, snatch the door off the hinges. And we don't limit this to just the case of police terrorism. Our attempt is to, and we not only our attempt, we're gonna do it. We're gonna make the connections to the cases of our Minister of Defense, Aaron Patterson, the case of Mubarak Abu-Jamal, to the case of Katherine Johnston, the Nana, the case of Troy Davis, to the case of your grandmama, your auntie getting her house taken, to the cases of we don't care healthcare system, the case of the colonial miseducation in colonial schools. However, when organizing as real as it's organizers, we keep our ear to the ground and we see what are the best tactics to get the people to some point of unity by addressing these atrocities that go down on us on a day-to-day basis. I say atrocities, that's kind of like a liberal term, because we say, in fact, we say every day is September 11 for us in our communities. In fact, we got this thing, we say, we define ourselves as the OVs, not the OGs, but the OVs, the original victims of terrorism. People have been terrorized under such terms as gentrification or growing prison industrial complex, or, you know, we say police brutality, that's a euphemism. That's a euphemism, because reality is that regardless who, whatever, who we are, when those flashing lights come behind us, we all get that same sentiment of terror from the top of our head to the tip of our toes. And it affects every aspect of our existence. Notice I didn't say life. Every aspect of our existence, because as Marvin Gaye said, this ain't living.
That's right.
Dr. Frances Cress Wellston made an analogy she's talking about, because she's talking to 12 and 13 year old children. And she was asking, what do you aspire to be when you grow up? And they were, you know, they gave her the thing, the rundown, doctor, lawyer, politician, so on and so forth. And when she inquired, why not somebody like Dr. King or Malcolm X? These 12 and 13 year old youth who never heard, who couldn't articulate words like counterinsurgency or even assassination, their response was, man, are you crazy? Now, this response came because reality is, they know the repercussions that can go down on you if you feel as if you fight against your people. Matter of fact, the repercussions of you, I mean, just being black, period, you know what I'm saying? You know, and black and Pacific and oppressed in general. Black Panther Party had a saying, they said, they said we addressing, I might be paraphrasing, but the avaricious, greedy businessman, demagogic politicians, and fascist pig cops. And they took a position, and we take a position. What is the most evident? What is the most in your face? What is the most straight up front? What, matter of fact, let's go straight to the chase. What's stopping us from dealing with the question when they come to take your foreclose your home? What's stopping us from taking a stand and saying we ain't leaving? What's stopping us from going up in there and snatching the medication, you know what I'm saying, for the healthcare, you know what I'm saying? We know this government with all this technology and all this medical scientists, we know they got the medicines, as they blatantly stated in Occupy Isaiah in Africa, where they said they got the medication to deal with the effects of HIV and other forms of chemical biological warfare, but they're not gonna supply it to the people. What's stopping us from not storming them doors and going to take the medication? What's stopping us from not kicking through them doors and, you know, saying, go and grab Troy Davis up out of there? The question of the police. The front line on the war that's being waged on our people, and it's just a division there, but it's reduced to the correlation from the troops in Vietnam to the troops in our community, whether it be Oakland, Detroit, Chicago. We have to make that correlation. And it's not just a physical thing. A lot of times, I struggle with a lot of forces. One of our jobs, and we've done this quite some time unofficially, but we made it official in protecting and defending the legacy of the Black Panther Party. And some of the slander that we had to deal with, a lot of people tried to negate the Black Panther Party to from the military aspect of a group, just, you know, just breaking some gas, cash grabs some guns, and making these physical moves. We say there's a difference between a war and a revolution. War, you get two occupying armies, they get out. Revolution, you gain the minds and participation of the masses of people. Minister Peterman even stressed that he made a point that we must even politicize the gun. What makes our gun different than the pig's gun? You know what I'm saying? In a revolution where we don't force the people to be an absolute, everybody ain't gonna be no frontline freedom fighter, but everybody got to play a role in this struggle.
We've seen
aspects of this, and it's possible. Now, I ain't talking about no keep on with lie. I'm telling you, we know. I mean, I ain't gonna go back to the 60s. I'm talking about recent history. We've seen everybody, the people, whether it be using the technological skills of taking their cell phones, the cameras, the text messages. What's, you know what I'm saying, getting resources together, getting the word out on the telephone, informing party lines. The people use these different skills, you know what I'm saying, that bring heightened the level of conscious people to be clear what went down in Oakland, California. We don't think this happenstance. In fact, we say it ain't no coincidence that the media coverage that was shown, this ain't no slight on nothing, on nobody, it is what it is. The case, the Sean Bell in New York, people came out from court, after the court case, the families came out, in different, now Sean, and so on and so forth. The media coverage, you know what I'm saying, the CNN, all that was there. Ain't no coincidence, ain't been no media coverage about this thing in Oakland. Ain't no coincidence. I've been in Chicago when the rebellions. Notice these words I use, y'all. We say everything is political, including words and terms. When the rebellions happened in Chicago, Gangster Davey Jr., that's the mayor of Chicago, that's the mayor, that's the present mayor, that's the same mayor who George Bush referred to as the most powerful mayor in the country. Gangster Davey Jr. gave out specific orders to all media, do not report the riots. Why? That's what he referred to as riots. We said rebellions. Why? Reason being, because I'm on the south side of Chicago, and I see the west side of Chicago going up, I'm saying, man, what's the hold up? The same reason why they give us this whole misinterpretation of what's going on back in Africa. Well, they not connected to y'all, they don't like y'all, because they can't let the oppressed people get connected. They didn't want the world to see the rebellions that happened in Oakland, California. They did not want the world to see that the community open refused to let any, what Malcolm X referred to as Novocaine Negroes, the people that come down and tell you we're going to let you suffer peacefully. The masses did not let that happen. There were rebellions that happened. Now people were very critical of it, you know what I'm saying? And there can be some criticism ways. Amongst the people, we see the Black Panther Party said, differences amongst the people are reconcilable. How the difference between people in the state are irreconcilable. I know time was of the essence. I want to say this, I want to really stress this, and my comrade, I'm in this information here, he'll get down with the cases of everybody else, but he would negate, put out a lot of tens about the situation he's going through. He was given a felony charge in response to rebellions, as well as the Open 100, they get misdemeanor charges, but technically, they dismissed the charge, but they're still open for them to bring it back. So people are still fighting cases, y'all. And we got February 23rd at 661 Washington, 9 o'clock a.m. We need people to pack that courtroom. This is done for a number of reasons, y'all. Not just the morale for people who don't sit take a stand. But I want to make sure that every generation, every community be very clear. They don't get the wrong message by seeing this pig, Johannes Mercy, who gunned down Oscar Grant. Now him being out on the street on bond. State supplying the resources, He ain't even got to come at the court, you know what I'm saying? Setting all these special provisions for him. I don't want the people to get the wrong impression. I say, well, man, the people that fought for y'all, see, there's information out there struggling, you know what I'm saying? Bond resources, get on the same bar with Oscar Grant, you know what I'm saying? Was gunned down there to get the court, fight the case. We want to send a message to the state, to the people that you dig, that we get down. The people got their back, you know what I'm saying? The people fight anxious, we got their back. Right on? You know what I'm saying? We're gonna make a common conversation about these court dates. You know, we can't afford the luxury to wait till election time come up or Black History Month come up. You know what I'm saying? We gotta be consistent with this thing, man. Man, make it, man. Challenge your relationships. Make it a date. When we going out, we going to the movies, we have to go to court date for such and such, you know, today. You know what I'm saying? Make challenge with your day-to-day conversations. We say this case is pregnant. It's pregnant with potential, y'all. It's pregnant with potential. There's so many contradictions, you know what I'm saying, that we got to seize, and for a number of reasons. I was pointing out yesterday that SF State, even the time of this here, time of the rebellions, came on the heels of what would have been the 80th birthday of Dr. King, who was assassinated by the United States government, April 4th, 1968, who he himself had said that riots are the voice of the unheard. We struggle with their terms of rebellions. A criminal psychologist has said behavior is affected by consequences. Our brother Minister Keith took us step by step on the DA's oral off position on how, you know, who he's going to meet. At first position, he wasn't going to meet. Now we got to figure out, well, man, what did he go home and get a lightning or... He go to Yale University overnight and found out when the police broke the law. What continues? What educated him?
Power of the people.
That's what I mean. That's what we got to do, y'all. The state and a lot of people ain't clear on the power of the people. And we have to do what we refer to as an educational process. For legal reasons, I can't go into detail on how this educational process got to go with everybody. But everybody don't learn about books and pens either, though. But we got to, again, send a message, y'all, that our people cannot be continued to be viewed and treated as the Rodney Dangerfields of all races, y'all. In other words, no respect.
That's right.
It can't be seen like that no more. You know what I'm saying? They got them to a man. They can't be able to pinpoint what type of resistance gonna, you know what I'm saying, gonna happen or where the resistance is gonna come from. They gotta be very clear. It's gonna be some responses around here. I commend the community again for not getting caught up in what we refer to as the sidetracking of the slave. The sidetracking of the slave is a tactic that the government gets us involved in when they beat Rodney King or have us question what was his speed. When they beat you down, you know what I'm saying, man, was hurt such was a member of a gang, or was Oscar Grant with you? Was he married to his baby mother? All this type of stuff, you know what I'm saying? We had to take an adamant position. I mean, when I was locked up, they said free Fred, exclamation point. No question mark, no comma, no nothing, exclamation point. So, man, soon we got to court. Where you were, free Fred, exclamation point. That's the arrogant position that we got to take. Just Oscar Grant, ain't no sidetracking.
That's right.
They don't do it, they don't allow it. I remember that case with the girl that was missing, Sandra Levy, they use a euphemism. They say she was fooling around with the congressman. She was an intern. That's the word they use about it. a Washington, D.C., politically correct term, intern. So they was on America's Most Wanted. And I remember somebody called on there and said, well, man, was she fooling around with this married man? Before she could finish the sentence, they shut it down. Hold on, wait a minute. Don't say, no, man, this young lady is missing. That's it, that's all. Nicole Simpson, man, you know, man, they didn't play it. So, man, it's colonized people, man, it's oppressed people, man. We have to take this, I want to commend the community for taking that position. I'm talking about, man, justice for Oscar Grant, you know what I'm saying? We demand it, and we say sky's the limit. You know what I'm saying? It's so much that we got to address everything from the foreclosure to the police terrorism. A lot of people say, what they got to do with this? We say everything is political. Because the reality is, the reason why the pigs deal with us like this in our communities is because it's a message that's sent down directly, indirectly, covertly, overtly, articulated or not articulated. It's a message that comes down through roll call at the Oakland Police Department. The United States Army, through the Marines and Air Force, is a message sent down to every parasitical merchant in your community. You know, it's a message sent down to every slumlord in your community. Man, go do what you want to do to them. Without no repercussions. And we got to send a message that we don't care what puppets, what Novocaine Negroes, or who they put up, you know what I'm saying? If they don't speak in the interest of the people, man, they don't speak for us. They don't speak for us. Okay, this can't go pop on nobody in the middle and say, well, that's your spokesperson. No. We're talking people, you know what I'm saying, on a day-to-day basis. You know what I'm saying? Again, we gotta be consistent with that message. Again, thank y'all for coming out here.